And with us today from NASA, our friends over at NASA, we have Lori Oz. Good morning.
She made us shorten it.
Yes.
Good morning.
She doesn't trust us.
Well, she figured that we were going to do like everybody else. We were going to screw it up, which we usually do.
Yep, sure did. Sure did.
So you're with NASA Quest.
Yes, the Quest mission.
The Quest mission.
Which the Quest is, mission, I want to say, that's the supersonic thump, right?
Yes, it is.
So it's the X-59.
It's the X-59, yes.
Wow. I want to get on the list of cities you fly over, because I want to hear this thing.
So we are still trying to decide which ones we're going to fly over. So
on,
I
Philly.
Can't
Philly,
tell you
Philly,
that
Philly,
yet.
Philly.
Are you from Philly?
We're about 40 miles west.
Oh, I'm from Philly.
There you? Where'd you go? Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Jeez. How you doing,
yes.
Yeah.
So how far along is the aircraft?
So we are still not to flight yet. We just did a rollout to the flight line a couple of weeks ago. Still in the middle of doing ground and system integration checks.
So the aircraft is built then?
It is on its wheels. There were some videos we released recently, so you can see it actually rolling out.
Now, is it a clean sheet design, or did you adapt, like use a fuselage from an F-16, play with the wings?
It's a clean sheet design. We did scavenge a few parts from a T-38. We've got a T-38 canopy, an ejection seat, F-16 landing gear. We do have an F-1.
That's being cost effective.
Yeah. Yes, usually, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
We do have a brand new 414 single engine variant is the engine, and so that's brand new.
Ooh.
Yeah, so.
It's always good to have a new engine.
Manufacturers wondering where that prototype went.
Didn't I just leave that engine on my desk?
Wasn't down here yesterday. So your flight rollout, what's your projected first flight?
So we're still pushing for the end of this year.
Okay.
Hopefully. It's going to take us probably at least 9 months to do all the, envelope expansion.
Right, before you get all the way up to supersonic.
To get to airworthiness, airworthiness. And then we've got a few, probably 6 to 9 months planned for doing flights to actually measure the sonic, the pressure waves coming off the aircraft and the ground measurements. So we really understand the acoustics of the aircraft and what that low sonic thump really is before we go fly.
Right? Next year?
Well,
oh, come on.
Probably not.
Confirm nor deny.
Yeah. No, those tests will all take place out in near NASA Armstrong, Edwards Air Force Base.
Edwards Air Force Base, I was thinking that.
Yeah, so that's where it'll be flying probably the first 18 months we've got it in the air. Then we'll take it out on the road show.
Nice.
That sounds like a great plan. Are you building one aircraft, or is there going to be a follow-on to this?
It is just one. We do have a lot of spare parts, a lot of structural spare parts, but we are only building one. So that's why you got to make sure it's very, very safe to fly.
Well, I'm sure that once you get actual real flight data instead of simulated data, that'll send you in different directions, and you'll want to modify it.
Yeah, well, the hope for all of this is to change regulations so that, to enable supersonic overland flight. So, the regulations will allow industry folks to, if they want to go build a commercial supersonic aircraft, and all the measurement data will actually be provided to the industry and the community so they can, validate their tools they use and go forward and build an aircraft, we hope.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure.
That's why I'm here, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm here to answer.
What about the efficiency of supersonic flight versus subsonic? I mean, in past, it's always taken a lot of fuel to go fast.
It's a challenge. We are also working, my project actually works a lot of efficiency advancements. So a lot of it's a very integrated design. Any supersonic aircraft's a very highly integrated design. So that's, I think, where most of the efficiency gains can be found. But it's a challenge.
Does spreading out the shockwave generation, does that result in like a drag reduction because you don't have that big standing wave?
No, it's basically when you're doing a design like that, you're designing for both at the same time and trying to minimize, your drag and minimize the boom. So it's not a one for, it doesn't directly reduce.
It's got to be a series of compromises is what
it is. Aren't all aircraft?
pretty much.
I mean, they don't even have a bathroom on the darn thing. Come on.
There's only one seat, too.
Yeah,
I keep complaining that there's not a back seat and I can't fly in it. So
I hope you have enough money in the budget to put a couple of cameras on the airplane like the aerobatic pilots do, you know.
What?
Well, we do have a couple of cameras, but they're for forward vision. Mm-hmm. We don't have that, you know.
We don't have a droopy nose.
We have no front windshield because that will generate a lot of shocks and increase that sonic thump.
Like the trim around the window.
You know, the slope of that window. So we've got a camera that we use that's on the top of the aircraft during, up and away flying, and then one underneath the aircraft that pops out when you're getting ready to land or take off and doing all your ground taxiing and stuff.
Do you have a goal speed in mind, like Mach 1.03 or
something? Well, the aircraft's actually designed for, it's Mach 1.4.
Okay.
So, it'll be able to go a little faster than that, but the design point for the aircraft is Mach 1.4.
You're listening to Lori Oz here on the NASA Quest program, Supersonic Flight.
Mm-hmm. Well,
go fast, you know, industries.
Friendly supersonic.
Friendly,
right.
Yes.
Right. That's always been the big complaint about supersonic aircraft is the noise. And you are hoping that some years in the future, we will have supersonic cross-country instead of oceanic.
Yeah, so currently there's a speed limit. You can't fly supersonic over land, so we're trying to set a noise limit.
Okay.
Just like we have for takeoff and landing noise, we have noise limits that, you know, and so this is what we're trying to establish is what that noise limit will be, and that's what we'll do during our community testing. We'll be flying over communities, people on the ground will be varying the level of that sonic thump that we expose them to, and they'll be telling us whether they're annoyed or not.
Well, I will
and
never
setting
be
and using that data to provide to regulators.
Let's talk about the basic form factor. Everything we've ever seen supersonic looks like a lawn dart, engines in squarish pods. You're never going to see an airliner supersonic with engines out on the wings, are you?
There have been designs. I think it's difficult for low thump aircraft to do that because, again, as we talked about with the windshield, if you put the inlets on top, they kind of reflect the stronger shocks up. But, it's possible. I'm not going to say that it's, not possible.
Okay.
It's just going to be a very highly integrated design. It has to be very finely
shaped. Right. And we're not going to see an A380 that's supersonic anytime soon.
Probably not.
Not intentionally.
Not one of those.
I was going to say, to design this aircraft, you must have started out on paper, gone to a computer, gone to simulated wind tunnel tests, go back to the paper, doodle some more.
Paper.
There must have been hundreds of revisions.
We've been trying to do something like this we've been trying to lower the sonic boom for decades. We've got a forum going on later this morning on lowering the boom at 10:30 or 11:30, I guess it is, with one of our tech integration leads. It's been a long time, and we have just the tools and the processes and the knowledge of how to do this has taken a long time to develop. And yes, there's a lot of
iterations.
Yes. Iterations.
We've done a lot of wind tunnel tests, on this aircraft. We've done low speed, high speed. We've done sonic boom tests. We've done,
Has most of it been computerized?
Oh, yeah.
Or are you doing actual models in real wind tunnels?
Both. But it really is the computational, the computer models and the ability that we have these days to do these designs that's really enabled us to be...
And the wind tunnels there is more to validate what the computer's telling you.
Yeah. I mean, it's a back and forth. I mean, this aircraft was through many, many design iterations.
It is a single-engine aircraft.
Single-engine aircraft, yes.
Which means that if it fails... Uh-oh.
Let's not go there.
Right.
We're not going to fail.
You just turn off the in-flight movie, secure all the flight attendants, and land.
Yeah. And grab your pizza on the way out. Yes, this lunch is to go. There's no ballistic parachute on this aircraft, in case of a problem.
There's an ejection seat.
Right. Okay. I was going to say, ballistic parachute on a supersonic airplane?
Well, the thing of it being is it might not be supersonic when something goes wrong.
There was a time we did a design iteration. We were looking at, a parachute. I don't remember exactly if it was just to slow down on... I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it didn't make it into the final design.
Well, that's okay. At least they have the ejection seat.
I bet you have a lot of test pilots, though, wanting to fly it already.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And our one of our test pilots is here this week. I think giving a forum on Wednesday, and I don't know, he'll be talking a lot. He'll have people around him all week.
So you already have a flight simulator put together in development.
Oh yeah, it's we actually have two of them. There's one at Lockheed and one at NASA Armstrong out at Edwards.
Nice.
And I'm sure that the pilots you have chosen for this are going to have 1,000 hours on the simulator before the plane.
Yes, they've been at it for a couple of years now. So, yeah.
Okay.
They'll be very prepared.
I want to be the guy that running the simulator that gets to flip the switch to cause problems.
Yeah.
Hey, watch this.
Oh, yeah. You could sit there and with the simulator, you can practice all kinds of emergencies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, dead stick landings, the pizza is burnt, and stuff like that.
The airplane's flying too fast.
Yeah, we've been using the simulator a lot, too, just to help us with our community test designs. So, you know, simulating the aircraft itself doesn't have, it has a limited performance. It's a noise generator. It's not like a high-performance aircraft. It's got one function, is that to generate a sonic thump that we can use in our testing. So, but they've been using that to try to set up all of our designs for when we actually go out and do our community tests.
Oh, come
so that's been really helpful.
Philly. Come out to the Bunce intersection. That's where I live.
we're doing it randomly. We're trying to be very, you know, our statisticians tell us we have to be very,
a new game
random
show.
Selections for our random communities.
A new game show, Wheel of Thump.
Yeah, they got the thing with the ping pong balls and they're spinning it around.
You've just won the lottery.
All right, I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Lori Oz from NASA Quest Program.
Yeah, well, we've got a very large display over in the NASA pavilion this week, so I encourage everybody to stop by and sign up for our boarding pass.
Nice.
So you too can be on that first flight of X-59.
Oh no.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm there.
Sign up for it.
All right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.